Rumba.
I'm out to Bishop's Corp when I get my own bag of those. Very really good, actually.
Pound the bag, mate.
You're not carboning anything, Chris.
Fucking ambulances. Why do we always call them Saturday night?
It's fucking chaos in town, wasn't it, when we drove there?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the start of Dawn of the Dead.
It's like people going to Popwood at 20 to 7.
Yeah. In fancy dress. Oh, God, yeah. Well, there we go.
Just walking through town was a mission. Yeah. Awful. Anyway. Hello and welcome to Cinemortuary, your fortnightly film podcast, cod piece. Hello and welcome to Cinemortuary, your fortnightly film podcast about horror reboots and remakes. With me as always,
Rob, your man!
Hello, Dave.
How are you, Treacle?
Just a second.
Sorry.
Just a fucking second. And also joining me, as always, is Banana Man over there in the corner. The king of potassium sulfate himself. How's it going, Relentless?
Yeah, wearing yellow again, drinking Relentless again.
Yep, the only white man to pull off yellow. Very good.
Thank you.
No worries.
Yellow's my colour now, I've decided.
Yeah, yeah.
A bit like how Bret Hart, his colour was pink.
Yes, it was. Yeah. With your El Ligero Mario t-shirt.
I am, yeah.
And your obviously sizable stature. You are kind of reminding me of Arnie at the start of Twins.
Yeah.
Where he's got the Born to be Bad t-shirt on. Just a fun t-shirt, and then there's just kind of no-nonsense Chris Wilson inside it.
That's exactly what I'm going for.
Yep. Just getting mad about traffic lights, getting mad about queues.
Green!
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good.
Good. Sweet. This week, we're looking at the Amityville Horror 4. Not set in Amityville, the house, or the place.
Well, is it a start, isn't
it? Is it a start? Do apologise.
It is, sorry. Tenuous link. Tenuous.
Yeah.
It counts,
yeah. More than number five does. And it's, what's it called? The Evil...
Escapes.
Evil Escapes.
Or the Evil gets posted over across America.
Gets snail-mailed, yeah. It is the 1989.
Correct.
I think. Yeah. Number five was made the actual same year.
Right.
Both director TV movies.
Yes.
And this features, it stars, in fact, one of those lamps that is in HomeSense or TK Maxx, and you literally can't tell if it's broken or not, or that's what it's supposed to be.
Very much so. I would like to just make something clear.
Okay.
At the start of this. Mm-hmm. In case anyone writes in, yes, we know it's a TV movie. Yes, it still counts because it's part of the Amityville Panathon.
Still a movie sequel.
It still counts.
Yeah.
Or otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to do it. So
yeah. So shut the fuck up with your complaints, internet.
Stop tweeting, you fuckers.
Sorry, Dave. Carry on.
That's all right, mate. As long as you got it all out in the open, there.
Yeah, it's good.
I picked this on recommendation from Eleanor.
Yes.
She's been talking about it possibly for a year, basically on the premise that this film has a haunted lamp in it with a demon inside, or the devil himself inside.
Yeah.
And she's been telling me all sorts of hilarious shit about how the lamp somehow managed to shuffle its way down the stairs. It didn't like the family budgie, shoves it in an oven, electrocutes people, pretends to be a child's dead dad, kills a priest, kills a plumber. By just pouring shit on his face. It's just fucking funny, mate.
Well, there was three of us in our house watching this.
Already?
So Amy watched it with me. She was baffled and confused by the lamp situation.
Yep.
But particular interest was paid to this film by Lucille, my cat.
Yes.
Who was dead into the lamp idea.
Well, there was a cat in the film as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, she was transfixed. Didn't like it when the other cat came on, though.
No, not a fan. Yeah. It's like when you're a kid, you see other kids on TV. You think, "Whoa, fucking what a prick!"
Yeah, exactly.
She sees another cat on TV. She's like, "I could do that.
Yeah,
I could do that. Yeah. I could be a devil cat."
Yeah,
she's easy.
Yeah,
no, she couldn't. She's not.
And I watched it on my own because I have no friends. I've no relationships to speak of.
Look, there's a, yeah, look, make friends with Dave's panda.
It's called Logan. That's toothpaste on him, by the way, before you fucking say out.
I was wondering. It's there, on the shoulder.
Oh, that's a shame. I was hoping it'd be semen.
Oh. Yeah. Fucking hell.
Yeah, so my reason for choosing it is basically because she was hyping about it, and every time she talked about it, she'd get into kind of hyperventilating hysterics.
Yeah.
So we had to watch it, and her commentary during the whole thing was amazing. If I looked away, like if I was tying my shoelace or just like opening the window, she'd be like, oh, babe, the lamp's doing something else crazy. It's playing snooker.
Yeah. It's an interesting designed lamp.
Yeah. Yeah, and it does kill someone with a tetanus.
Yes.
Which I find so fucking funny.
That's a niche kill, isn't it?
It is a pretty... It's a drawn-out way of doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Tetanus pretty easy to fucking, like, cure, though.
Yeah, you get... I think you get a jab, like, once every 30 years or something, don't you?
But, I mean, if you got, if you got tetanus...
It's devil tetanus, though, mate.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Yeah, yeah.
The lamp!
Like, yeah. You just can't put it under the tap, and it'll be all right, you know.
Yeah.
If this one will get you.
Yeah, true. True. So,
shall we get started?
Should we dive in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We start on a rainy night with a good old-fashioned exorcism.
Yes.
A busload of priests come running in.
don't like a five-a-side team.
Yeah.
All right, lads, two upstairs, two in the corridor, you and me in the living room, let's go.
Yeah. Just kicking doors down and holding the crosses up.
Yeah, yeah. Sprinkling water everywhere. Yeah.
I wonder what their five-a-side team would be called.
God bother us.
Golden balls.
Golden
balls. That'd be a good one. Yeah. They're top of the league because they crucify the opposition.
Oh. They're really good at crosses.
Oh, Jesus.
There we go. They've really got the defence nailed down.
Mate. So, yeah, we're coming into the house and there are objects flying off the wall and the gas stove sets on fire and all that lot, you know.
Paranormal activity grade shit, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at some point, the pans start flying everywhere and, like, the pool cleaner comes out the pool.
Sticks him round the face.
Yeah, and the DVR's there recording everything, but, you know, just won't look at it because, you know...
Mm. Trips over his shoelaces because he's forgot to tie him.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I'm dying! I'm fucking
Fucking knob pickler.
What a load of fucking nonsense.
And this film takes it all to, like, comedy levels where, like, the pictures just can't fall off the wall. The pictures have to swing across the stage on a bit of string and hit someone.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's all just fucking bottom of the barrel Laurel and Hardy shit.
Yeah, it's
absolutely lumpsome. And speak it off. There'll be more of those puns to come later.
One of my opening gambits on my notes was that this is pure 1 a.m. on a Friday night on Channel 5 vibes from 1999, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's home box office in the States sort of thing as well.
It is, yeah. It's almost worse to admit watching this than watching porn, I'd say. I think this is more shameful in many ways.
Yeah, you'd have a harder time explaining it.
You would, yeah.
You'd flick over to porn on the other tab.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched this film last night, it was about a lamp.
Right.
Of course you did, mate.
Of course you did, all right. Here's Rob again. Yeah. Put it in the wine glass.
And was it like some sort of like erotic lamp? Or
yeah.
Just stabbing old ladies? Yeah. That's Rob's into.
Oh dear.
He has particular kink. Which, strangely, there's a community for online. There's a community for everything.
Of course there is.
Be so kind. Hurry now!
Get in with it quickly.
Omne phantasma spiritus, omne silencio phantasma, omni omnesio Christi satane.
Your Highness, in deceit, it is Adam Duntus, and take it.
I very nearly collapsed during the opening sequence with the the squad of priests.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically, every cliche imaginable mm-hmm. got thrown at me at the same time, to the point where I nearly had a seizure.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, we had the fucking pictures flying off the walls, the full swinging doors.
Yeah.
You know, bleeding walls. Yep. It was all coming at me so fast.
Yeah.
I fucking loved it, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good fun, I think. I don't think it's meant to be fun at the time. I think it's meant to be genuinely scary, but it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, but how could it be generally scary when one of the priests storms into the room and there's a lamp there, and the lamp pulsates, and it knocks him the fuck out.
It does. It basically headbutts him, doesn't it?
Yeah. Dunk!
And then every time we see this lamp, I think it does have a man in a prosthetic mask, like, projected across it somehow.
I think we need to describe this lamp for anyone who's listening who hasn't watched the film. We're not talking about, like, the Pixar lamp, are we? It's more of a...
It is a TK Maxx door-upper, mate.
It is, yeah.
Damaged, like, but lovely.
All sorts of, like, weird, wavy, decorative shit going on
very
with it.
Very wooden.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah, it looks like a tree with, like, a ball on top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of almost looks like a Pumpkinhead man.
Yes, it does a bit. Yeah. 100%, mate. I see where you're coming from with that.
Yeah.
So, the next day, there's a bit of a yard sale going on.
Yes.
Oh, we should point out that one of the priests successfully traps the demon that is in the house in the lamp, but doesn't realise that's what he's done.
I didn't realise that's what he's done. Yeah, I just thought he got knocked the fuck out by the lamp.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
So the lamp knocks him out because the demon's been pushed into the lamp.
Wait, so the lamp was a demon?
No, there's a demon in the lamp. So they've gone into the house to do this exorcism.
Yeah.
Right? And the demon's, like, slamming doors on them, like, squirting novelty joke flowers in their faces and shit. And then the priest manages to banish it, but he banishes it into the lamp. That's when the lamp comes alive and nuts him.
Oh, but I thought it was the lamp that did it all along.
No, it wasn't the lamp that did it all along, mate.
Because later on, the lamp plugs itself in and, like, does a little weird ball into the house, and that's how the rest of the house goes weird.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I thought that same thing had just happened in the other house.
Oh, I don't know now.
Maybe he's just pulled the plug out and it's been like, oh, shit, I'm trapped now.
Hmm.
I don't know. Anyway, some shit happens in his yard sale the next day.
There is.
Yeah, and there's some... Well, as the yard sale's happening, there's one of the priests goes back upstairs the day after.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the lamp gone? Where's it gone? Meanwhile, it's been sold downstairs. And,
whoa. Don't forget the bit where the two old ladies are looking around at it.
Well, I was literally about to say.
Thought you skipped over it.
No, I was about to say that.
Oh, I didn't even realise the priest came back in, sorry.
Bloody hell, one of these days, you deserve a good lamp in.
I'm sick of your bright ideas. Thank you.
I think I'm going to pull the plug on these fucking puns, mate. Yeah.
Fuse is gone.
Damn it!
What?
Stolen. So anyway, if it's two women at a yard sale, one of them looks at this lamp and thinks, oh, it's atrocious. I know what'll be funny. I'll take this very heavy lamp, which must weigh, 50, 60, 70 kilograms?
Jesus, so heavy.
and despite the price of postage, I'm going to send it across to my sister in California because it'd be really fucking hilarious.
For banter points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a weird sense of humour.
She is Bantasaurus Rex, isn't she? Yeah. Goodness me.
I'd rather just, like, call them up and pretend I'm the taxman or something. That's a much cheaper prank.
Yeah, true, yeah. Very true. Fucking hell.
Yeah. Yeah, and, as she's about to buy it, she accidentally slices her finger on it.
Oh, dickhead.
Yeah.
Yep.
Somewhere there must be a young, handsome artist.
Casey, look at
this. This is so much junk, Helen. We're wasting a perfectly good day.
Honey, put that down.
Rona! Look at this! This is just perfect. This is ugly.
Yeah, that's why it's perfect.
$100. Even the price is right.
Helen, you're not going to buy this
Excuse me.
Monstrosity? Of course I am.
As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to give it to my sister as a birthday present. Pretty
good. Do you think she'll like it?
Well, I think she'll understand it. It's going to make her laugh. Well, that's the point. At our age, things aren't as important as fun.
Will cost you more to ship it than it's worth.
Well, I can afford it. Oh, damn!
Oh,
oh, that thing is sharp. Thanks.
Maybe we ought to get you a tetanus shot.
Don't worry about it. I'll be fine.
Oh, no, just a bit of blood. I'm sure I'll be fine. Not realising that she's now caught demon tetanus.
And, well, DT for short, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, she can put a bag of ice on it all she wants. She's slowly going to die from a really icky-looking disease.
Yeah, shout out to the clearly fucking, like, some of the worst makeup work ever on her finger in the next scene where it just looks like someone's just put a bit of papier-mâché over a finger.
It's fucking shocking, that, isn't it? It's like, love, let's be honest, right? I'll give you an extra $200 if you just cut your finger for us.
Yeah. Fucking pony.
So, and that's basically it for the actual interview for the film. They go back to it one more time when our old dear prankster dies, but apart from that, we head over to Dancot in California.
Dancot.
Okay. Double T.
Dancock. Yeah.
Load of cock.
Dan?
Penis.
Wang. So we... Oh, well, speaking of cocks, we've got the Leacocks.
Yes.
We've got a single mum and three kids moving in with their mum. For reasons we'll find out later, her husband died. Yeah. So everyone's moving while she goes and gets a teaching degree.
Yep.
And
that's all very positive, that, isn't it, really? Yeah. We're all just kind of getting back on the wagon and...
And of course, transfigure their life out.
Off the bat, we're treated to another classic horror cliche of weird child.
I hate weird kids in films. Not in that they spook me, I'm just like, just shut the fuck up. Stop saying cryptic shit.
Do you know what this sort of... This is like a really old reference now, but do you remember those adverts? If you hit me at 30 miles per hour...
I made a doom metal cover of that advert, you bellend. Of course I remember it.
And plate.
If I can dig that out, that's a fucking miracle.
If you still got the file.
If you hit me 40 miles an hour, there's around an 80% chance I'll die.
Like ashes circling the fire, with urges of the set of me, while dancing indifferently, soaring in the interglacial skies, as the happy lies on us.
Yeah, every time there's a creepy little girl, it reminds me of that advert.
Yeah.
It's just like...
And you just start laughing.
Yeah. I'm thinking, does that mean if I run over you 5 miles less, then there's less chance you'll die? Might give it a go.
Put my foot down. Speed up. Get it to 40, just in case.
Yeah.
So we've got the classic... bit of scene coming up as well after the family arrive where they unpack the lamp, the bants hit the fan. Oh yeah, hilarious stuff from my sister, brilliant.
Pull my back out, great.
And Bantosaurus
then,
Rex.
Indeed, yeah. And then the bird and the cat start freaking out because it's an evil lamp.
Let's discuss the cat.
Oh, top end cat.
I know.
That is, yeah, yeah.
I'm going to give her a cuddle.
Big fan.
Yeah. The cat provides my favourite moment in this film, that's later on.
We'll
get to that.
So, the bird goes apeshit, so does the cat, but the creepy girl, for some reason, really loves that lamp, don't know why.
Yeah, she's just really into it for no other reason than to further the plot where she locks people in rooms, to be honest, I think, really.
Yeah. She loves lamp, insert Anchorman reference here.
And the lamp switches itself on, which of course means that it's a bad lamp.
Yeah.
Just to make hammer home that point.
It's fucking spooky, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It just turns itself on, mate.
Could be a clapper lamp, you know, just gone. Did anyone clap? You know, is that the problem?
Stop staring at each other and clapping. It's weirdly sexual.
Oh, no, that's not clapping. Sorry.
It's Big Rich come back.
Zip. Zip. The swingers.
Oh, he's going to go in the wake.
Next scene. We get the info dump about how Frank, Nancy's husband, dropped dead of a heart attack at age 42.
Yep.
Thinking that sort of thing can't happen.
Yep.
Well, it can.
It can. If it,
yeah, yeah, being honest.
In the 80s.
Yeah. Cardiac arrest and all that lot.
Wank.
And straight back to the lamp because Jessica thinks it's her dad.
Yeah, the lamp's doing spooky talking to her or something, isn't it? Yeah.
Does look a lot like her dad, though.
Yeah.
Can see how she gets mixed
up. Dead.
Oh. I'm going home.
Well, they keep going on about the dad quite a bit, don't they? I suppose, like, you know, he's an all-round good dad. She's quite attached to him.
Yeah.
He's got a glowing reputation.
Mm. Oh. You're a prick.
What?
You're switched on today, aren't you? Hey. Mm. Hey.
Fucking hell. I can't remember anything about this film.
But I'm like,
it is better.
I mean, at this point, basically, it becomes clear to me that the acting is so ridiculously shite. Like, it's honestly...
It's poor, isn't it, as you would say?
It's basically... What's happened here is that these actors can't read... And they've not told anyone. And they're playing, they're delivering their lines like someone who can't read when they're trying to read. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, when they mispronounce words a little bit and they stammer a bit. It's just like, it's fucking chaos, mate.
Yeah. When the actor just can't get it, so they have to give their character a lunchbox for no reason other than to have the script written on it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're always reading the paper in the scenes.
Yeah. The best actor in this film is the lamp.
Followed closely by the cat.
Yeah. Followed closely by the birdo.
Yep.
The next bit, the lamp has a bit of a power surge. It glows like some sort of Power Rangers type shit.
Yep.
And it causes the grandmother, Alice, to burn her hand on the kettle.
Yep.
Yeah.
The parrot's stop. The parrot's not talking again. And Nancy sees her husband in the mirror, which reminded me of when Hulk Hogan saw Ultimate Warrior in the mirror in WCW in 1998.
Excellent reference. One of my favourite bits of WCW of all time, by the way.
Yeah. Top shelf stuff.
Yeah, really good. If anybody out there isn't familiar with the Ultimate Warriors running WCW in 1998, it's well worth checking out.
Yeah.
Get it watched.
Free for the first month on WWE Network.
Yeah, honestly, mate, you should watch that shit.
Is it funny?
It's fucking next level, isn't it?
It is, yeah. There's like WCW was so poor about like the whole pyrotechnic thing that when he kept doing a thing where he kept appearing in the ring magically through a trapdoor, and the way they did it was basically just have a few guys blasting fire extinguishers into the ring, as for like the mist.
Yeah,
it's like literally you could like one of the pay per views you could hear them for fire extinguishers go shh as they were doing it.
That's pretty fucking funny.
And then the trapdoor severely injured the British bulldog. Crippled his back, didn't
he? Yeah. It did, yeah.
He was out for like a year.
He was.
Yeah. No one told him where the trapdoor was and he took a bump on it. Brilliant.
Yeah. Like back first.
Back body drop, I think, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty severe stuff.
Anyhow, back to Amityville 4.
If we must.
After that significantly more entertaining interlude.
Yeah. Yep. Our creepy girl Jessica is so scared, that she wants to stay in the mum's room for the night.
Yep.
We get a bit where a mum wakes up because a man's arm, Frank's, we assume, appears over her shoulder, like, but there's nothing there.
Yep.
Wakes up, goes downstairs, and in a bit that was a bit Conjuring 2.
Yep.
You know, and goes downstairs and got the creepy girl talking to, it's her dad again in the lamp. The lamp's right there. Just like conversations with no one, really.
What if her dad was Bill? My house. It's just a crossover film idea.
That's very high praise for this film. That.
Thank you, mate.
The next day, Jessica's laid out in bed.
Enthusiasm in this room.
Next day.
Is this the
moving on?
Is this
quickly
the first day at the new school drama?
It is, yeah. I was going to say first that Jessica with a fever in bed, again, quite Conjuring 2. I wonder if James Wong, you know, if he watched Amityville Horror 4.
I mean, it is an underrated classic. You know, I'm surprised more horror filmmakers don't shoot in 4x3 as a result of this.
There's, well, first of all, Jessica upsets her sister by saying, like, she saw, I saw Daddy last night.
Yep.
And then to further upset her and her brother and everyone else before her first day of school/college, it turns out the bird's been cooked in the oven.
Nah.
Yeah, it's just been shoved in the oven, hasn't it?
Yeah.
In the oven. It's like,
Brian, the oven's ready. Oh, Mom.
Now, here's a question. Now, obviously, we've seen the film, we know what the lamp looks like. How did it get the bird? How did it pick it up and put it in the oven and turn the oven on?
I like to imagine it's what the old Godzilla suits look like, in that it just lumbers around like a 5-foot-tall Japanese man that can't see what's going on, just crashing into things. Everyone's sleeping soundly at night. It's tripping over cables. It's knocking cups off. And it's like, come here, you bastard. Grabs it, shoves it in the oven, breaks the oven on when it's slamming the door, and then just kind of hotchpotches its way back up its way back up the stairs.
I guess
it's fucking bastard.
In many ways, the question here is, how did it get burned?
Good question.
How did it get burned?
How did it get burned?
I don't know. How did it get burned?
How did it get burned?
How did it get burned?
How did it get burned? How did it get burned? How did it get burned? I don't know!
So then they make a big deal of a scene where the gran is looking sad about the loss of a bird and also perplexed because she's sure that she locked the cage door. Super spooky, right?
Less bothered about the fact that it got in the oven and cooked itself.
Yeah. The question is not the escape from the cage.
Yeah.
It is the...
Oh, no, he's always going in the oven and cooking himself, but this time I locked the cage. All right, Nan, fucking hell.
It's a suicidal bird that, like, really cares about gourmet cooking.
Absolutely. It's just fucking... It's haunted house crap at this point, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're back to... we've, like, done 4 or 5 films now where it's a ghost, but in lamp form here, just playing pranks again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just slamming doors in the before it goes to bed. Yeah.
Straight back to Paranormal Activity 2. But with a lamp.
But the strength of this versus Paranormal Activity 2 is that we do get away from the house every now and again. So we go back to the injured priest from the first scene leaving the hospital next. One of the priests knows that the lamps did it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at this point...
There was a lamp, I'm telling you!
I'd like to suggest that the priest who now onward tries to find the lamp, I'd like to refer to him from this point onwards as the lamp-hunting priest of mercy, if that's okay.
That is fine, yeah.
He's kind of like, fucking, this lamp consumes his life. It's hilarious. He talks about it like it's fucking, you know, what's his face? The Ed Gein.
There's a lot of fucking Amdram sort of, it just needs to, I don't know what his motivation was off screen, but like, he's just so fucking intense about this lamp. Anyone who heard this would just laugh in his face.
I know what his motivation is. He's seen the light.
Here we are, trying to throw shade on this film.
Yeah.
And you're just over there making jokes.
This is serious business. Speaking of serious business, my favourite bit of the film next.
Yep.
One of them anyway.
Yep.
The possessed chainsaw in the basement.
Absolutely.
Oh, fucking love this shit. Honest to God, fucking 10 popcorns.
Right.
Done.
We haven't got any kind of like special effects, levers and pulleys. Right. Can you just pretend?
Just pretend.
So first of all, his name's Brian. He like goes down into the basement, just thinks, I know, I'll pick up his chainsaw and pretend with it. Which, is this a thing kids do? Would they?
Yeah. I don't know. When your banter is being upstaged by a fucking lamp, you have to pull out all the stops, don't you? Really?
Yeah.
You just have to, you know. Yeah.
I like the fact it's intercut with the lamp lurking in the corridor like fucking Michael Myers.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
The thing is about this scene, though, it was fucking hilarious. But yeah, I found it really tense. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
There was a bit of tension in there.
Because, like, going back to, like, the last episode with the chainsaw banter there, you got Brian, like, fucking around with a chainsaw. Like, he's basically chopping everything up because he can't control it. And then you get about, like, three or four people entering. Yeah. At the same time, you think, oh, fucking hell, he's about to get an ankle or something.
Yeah, just throw more bodies in to make it tense.
Yeah.
Quick, and, child.
Ooh. So, legitimately, I went from laughing to thinking, oh, bloody hell.
Oh, X, steady on.
Calm down, love.
Did you put your cup of tea down, Willie, and everything?
I did, yeah. Oh, fucking I was shaking, yeah. I thought in the end it was a quite effective scene.
Yeah, no, I did. I think it was one of the best scenes in the film.
Fucking daft, though.
Yeah.
It's the cheapest scare I've ever seen, I think.
Yeah. So then the lamp-hunting priest of mercy makes it to the old woman who bought the lamp in the hospital.
Yep.
Who's now in a little mini tent, bit like E.T., that bit where the E.T. sort of they all get ill in E.T., don't they?
Yeah.
And they tent the house off. It's like that around her bed. It's hilarious. It's
she's like in
crib.
The fucking Ebola ward or something, or the burn victim unit, and she's just still got a cut on her hand.
I know, yeah.
There's a tiny bit of dialogue in the scene before that, where he goes to the house. There's obviously no one there because she's in the hospital, and she talks to her next door neighbour, who very specifically knows, she cut her finger on a lamp.
Yeah, yeah.
As though that's a significant memory of some sort.
Yeah, yeah. And then the priest just stares into space with this ominous music cue.
It's like,
dun, dun, dun. Lamp.
But back to the hospital, he's trying to gain contact with everyone at Dancott, California, but the phone number doesn't work for some reason.
For some reason.
I love a phone number, by the way. 555-2341. Mwah. Inspired.
Yeah. Well, the lamp's obviously cut off the phone connection, hasn't it?
Of course,
it's in the electrics.
Yeah, that's the idea. More banter from the lamp, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, try and keep up, Willie.
Yeah.
And then we bez off back to the house, don't we? Yeah?
We do.
And we have a wild jock appears, Pokemon style, from fucking nowhere.
Yeah. Are you at least 30?
Pisses off the lamp by putting it in the basement.
Yeah, that's fucking funny, that. He just puts it down, and then there's this lingering shot. And then Eleanor next to me pipes up. She's like, oh, you fucking put me in the basement, you son of a bitch. You can just see the anger on the lamp, just like,
you motherfucker.
Yeah. And then he has a bit of a problem with the old garbage disposal, doesn't he, that lad?
Yeah. Yes, mate, as far as I'm concerned, the absolute maniac that invented these things purely for tension like this in horror films can fuck off.
I mean, are they even like that in real life? I don't know, it's an American thing.
Yeah, but it's just the thing that they have in America. I assume over here it'll be like, no, fuck off. That's against every health and safety.
Don't get me wrong. Block drain, fucking sorted, mate.
Or like, what, though?
Yeah, what?
Just buy some bloody fluid for him.
It's the most fucking American invention in the world ever. Because what it is, it's nothing to do with curing block drains. It's to do with the fact that Americans are too fucking lazy to go to a bin, scrape the plate off, and then put it in a sink.
Yeah.
It's a twofer, isn't it? It's a two-for-one now. They don't have to do that shit.
It is absolutely something that someone invented just so people in horror movies could get their ties stuck in it.
yeah, absolutely. Or their hand, or their rings.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Anyway, it's fucking a bit contrived, isn't it?
Cliche moment of the week for me.
Right, right. There's two to choose from for me.
I know, yeah.
So I don't think there's ever been a point in a film in history where there's a garbage disposal sink that hasn't been used to sever something.
Yeah.
There is a cheeky moment where, like, oh, let me just get some gaffer tape on this switch and I'll tape it down to make sure no one in here, while you've got your hand down there, switches it on.
Mm.
Yeah.
At which point the jock's like, all right, yeah, don't do that, though. Don't actually switch it on, though. So the switch is taped down.
Yeah.
So there's no way that could come on.
Or is there?
Unless the lamp.
I love the close up shot of the switch pushing the tape down, where it's clearly there's someone just out of frame pulling the tape off.
Yeah.
Fucking beautiful, mate.
Mm.
Absolutely fucking.
Like, it's a bit caught. Like,
delicious. Off. I couldn't possibly have another bite of it. It's just delicious. Can I just tell you, by the way, just at this point, because I know we're bezzing through quite quickly.
Yeah.
I'm fucking so on board.
Yeah?
I'm so on board so far. I swear to fucking God, I'm having a whale of a time watching this. I'm saying to Amy, this is fucking brilliant. And she's like, what the fuck crack have you been taking? I don't know, but it's fucking something to do with his lamp.
It's for stress of a house move.
Just paying no attention to this breezy film. It's just washing over and you're like, this is fine.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm having a great time so far.
Yeah. It's like a Native American pan flute album in a garden centre.
Yeah.
You don't know it's been going on for like 50 minutes, but you know that you're just really relaxed.
Yeah.
You feel really comfortable with this film.
Yeah. Totally, mate. Mm. Totally. It's like it's like listening to fucking, you know, just, it's like listening to Radio 2. It's there. Thing that happens.
You're doing your wallpapering, aren't you, sort of thing.
They keep playing Rick Astley's new single, but every now and again they'll play a bit of Stevie Wonder.
Yeah. Something a little bit spicy and as spicy as Stevie Wonder is.
Yeah.
Bit of cumin there.
Having a problem?
Something's jamming the blades.
Here, take your hand out. You know, you shouldn't mess with the disposal unless you've secured the switch.
I've seen you at school. You're a senior?
Yeah. And, you're a junior, right?
Uh-huh.
Where are you from?
San Francisco.
Hmm, big city, huh?
Yeah. So, is there anything to do around here?
Bowling.
Bowling's okay.
Yeah, you definitely got something jammed down here.
They're told, right, no use of electrical appliances till the morning. You know, because the garbage disposal unit, that's...
The garbage disposal unit took his fucking hand off, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, minced. Yeah,
absolutely minced his hand. Yeah, it was taken off in the numbers. It's a shame, that, because he was a, you know, captain of the football team, and he was fucking mint at throwing, as he told us about 20 times.
Yeah.
Then he was going to have a go at bowls. He's a right-handed tennis player.
Yeah.
That was his wanking hand.
And the eldest daughter wanted a bit of him. So he had it all going for
but
him.
But now he hasn't got an hand, has he? So she's not interested now.
Yeah. Can't even have a lonely wank.
Yeah.
You just become left-handed. Trust me, you do.
he's not very handy to have around anymore, is he?
Oh.
Meanwhile...
Meanwhile,
just back in Amityville, our Bantasaurus Rex Helen, she dies. And when the priest tries to call Dan Cott again, the phone melts and burns in his hand.
Which is fucking funny.
It is quite a good effect as well.
Yeah, it is quite a nice special effect, but it is funny, I'm sorry.
Little shout out for the facial acting of the woman when she dies in the hospital, though. In the most over-the-top way imaginable. The most fucking Channel 5 at midnight on a Friday night way imaginable. It was like Dallas. Do you know, it was like a poor man's Dallas.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Oh, there's no need for you tonight, was it?
Sorry, mate. But yeah, the phone melting was hilarious as well. And then we cut back to the little weird little girl who's having a chat with a lamp, still thinks it's her dad.
Yeah. And she freaks out so much that she hits her mum. She's nice of her.
Yeah.
Webs if you the hit me at 35 miles per...
Shut the fuck up! and then we get a nice little horror scene of the older sister who's brushing her teeth and it turns into some weird fucking tar type substance.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's shit coming out of the pipes, isn't there?
Yeah, it's quite visual.
Yeah. Probably Matey Boy's hand got all rotten inside there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
He's not trying to give her a hand even though he's not there.
Oh, come on, Matey. Your fingers and thumbs with these puns tonight.
Oh! Strong. Strong. Yeah, so this brings round the plumber. The fucking plumber.
Yep. Oh. Jobber of the week, mate. Jobber of the week. Yeah.
And this is where I think all of the FX budget went on the bulging of the pipe.
Which is quite an interesting effect. So yeah, I think that felt uncharacteristically high profile, that.
Yeah, it felt all right. What did you think, Wilson?
The black goo reminded me of Twin Peaks.
Okay.
Okay.
Probably, I can't remember how much you've seen of it, but it was like, well, a bit when it gets strange later on. You know, the coffee goes all like really thick and gloopy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I won't explain like context of why, because I don't think you've seen it all yet. Have you?
I've only seen about 10 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. This happens much later on in like series 2, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Reminded me of that. So.
Reminded me of the black oil from X-Files.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of gets on people's faces and then goes in their giblets and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all right, to be honest, this little sequence. Yeah. There's no need for him to just lie there and stare at the pipe while it just oozes shit on his face.
Yeah. He could have at least tried to move away instead of thinking, oh, no, I'm about to get a load of black sludge coming.
Wasn't he pinned there? Didn't something fall down on his legs?
He did, but he should at least still try.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, he just sort of laid there like, uh-oh.
I mean,
die now.
It is the biggest go that this film has at logic, though, backpinning him. You know, that is like as good as it gets.
Yeah. As opposed to the logic elsewhere, the priest has tried to send a telegram to the house, and Brian, the younger son, answers it.
Yeah.
You know, picks up a telegram. And then he gets an argument with his sister about her jumper.
We have missed a little bit here. That I just want to go back to quickly.
Okay.
Fucking shout out to the plumber's van driving off on its own.
Oh, yes.
I had to fucking wind it back and figure out what was going on. I thought, am I missing it? No, the lamp's driving.
It's a clever lamp.
The lamp has a driver's license.
Yeah. It's a clever lamp. So now everyone thinks that the plumber's fucked off in his van, so.
Yeah, yeah. And have you seen the short circuit?
Yeah, mate.
You know the bit where Johnny Five gets in the van and then he rips the seat out, because obviously he's a robot, he can't sit down.
Yeah, yeah.
And he throws the seat out and then puts the thumbs out at the end.
Yes.
And then drives off. Yeah. I just want the lamp to do that in this truck.
Yeah, mate. Amazing.
My favourite thing about this is the plumber is then never referenced again.
No.
They never discover his body. Yeah. They never even reference him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like,
there's a happy resolution, but it's like, in 2 weeks' time, you are in for a fucking shock.
Yeah. Like, what's that smell?
Yeah.
It smells like shit and dead plumbers.
Yeah. Somewhere beneath this tar.
Yeah. So, just to go back to Brian, it's because he's arguing with his sister about a jumper. It's up to him. The telegram gets blown into nothingness beneath the cupboard, and I don't even think that one's even discovered again. So,
no.
In a few weeks' time, we're going to find that, and we're going to go, shit, the lamp's back.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. And
what was the issue with the jumper? I remember it. I don't know why they were fighting over a jumper, though.
From what I could tell, he wanted to wear it, but it's hers. It must have been a very generic black jumper or something, you'd have thought.
Yeah.
Unless it was trying the style or something.
Oh, fucking hell. All right, yeah.
I don't know. It was weird because Brian's a bit of a nothing character otherwise, apart from his chainsaw antics. It's like,
Yeah, he's just kind of there. He's the other kid, isn't he?
Yeah. He's the fourth kid from The Conjuring who gets cornered towards the end of the film. You know, he's like...
Just to remind everyone we're there.
Yeah, so I don't know why he's arguing with his sister about a jumper. Mate, it's a bit weird.
Good character development.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting.
We get into next one of the best sequences of the film. Like, some pure fucking gold here.
Mm.
When the maid comes in, the old maid woman.
Yep.
And she finds the little girl's bedroom trashed. And the girl's not around. And there's the super, super cliche distant child's laughter. Like, leading her up to the...
The attic, where the lamp has been stuffed.
Yeah.
Stay the fuck up there.
Yeah. Which is, this is absolutely my kill of the week. It's probably one of my favourite kills on the podcast so far.
For fuck's sake.
She got choked out by a lamp, mate.
Yeah. By the cable, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she got choked out by a lamp. I'd just like us all to think about that for a second. A fucking lamp strangled a woman with its own power cord.
That's my clip.
Jessica! Jessica? You in there?
Yeah.
You in here?
That's my kink anyway.
Melting.
Whole section on Pornhub. Oops, spoken too much. Right, moving on.
How do you follow that?
Chris Wilson unplugged. Oh. All new porn.
Right. So our matey boy priest finally shows up.
He does at fucking long last.
Yeah. And Jessica invites him in and is like, shit, nah, rather not. Runs away again. Coward.
Yeah, he does, yeah. Nah, fuck this. Can't hack it. Despite the fact I've just crossed the country specifically for this task, I'm just going to take one step in and go, actually, no, my ass has fallen out. I'm going somewhere else. Yeah.
How many miles between New York and California?
Well, it's literally across the country, isn't it?
Yeah. 3,000?
Something like that, yeah. It's a good 6 to 7 hour flight.
Yeah. And he's just like, nah. Better not.
Must have had a really fast car. One might say it was a Lamborghini.
Oh.
Clutching at straws now.
Yeah.
I've already said what with a double T several times. What?
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 Oh, dear.
I don't know.
You, with your puns?
What?
God. You like Totem?
What?
Gave that Jim Duggan sound effect?
What?
Piss off.
Did you just dab?
No, I went to listen to my watch like Stone Cold Steve Austin did back in the day.
You were dabbing?
Yeah, you know, started listening to his watch, didn't he?
Stone Cold Steve Austin, the original dabber.
Yeah.
What?
I think the greatest segment of the Stone Cold Steve Austin what period, although not very pleasant to look back on, was when he made Torrie Wilson cry in the ring on SmackDown, and he was like, you wanna go up with Tajiri? What? He's not in alliance. What? What are you wearing? Do you think you're attractive? What? It's just like pure psycho Austin. I'm watching this period of WWF on the network.
Pretty terrifying, isn't it?
He's like, he's fucking hilarious. I mean, it's some of his best stuff.
Stomping around with an acoustic guitar and just beating up Taz.
It's always Taz that gets beat up. It's fucking great.
That poor orange midget.
Yeah.
Who could, let's face it, just like suplex everyone in the ring.
Yeah.
All back to back. And then flip a few houses for good measure.
Yeah.
But there we go.
Yeah, he started feuding with Maven at the point that I'm at now, because Maven's just one tough enough.
Was that Taz feuding with Maven?
Yeah. Oh,
fuck me.
He does the JOB at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah. Was it Maven who eliminated The Undertaker?
Yeah, 2002, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Fucking hell.
And then he got fucking shanked through that popcorn machine. One of my all-time favourite Royal Rumble moments.
Dear me.
Anyway, I suppose we better switch back to the lamp.
What?
Oh, Ro. What are you like?
Get in.
The whole family come back later on because everyone has left their house, mm-hmm. apart from Jessica and the maid, who mm-hmm. is now nicely choked out in the attic.
Absolutely, just hanging out.
They find a note from a priest. Mm.
Shocking.
They find a note from a priest saying,
"Fuck off." Could we please have a moment of silence in the cinematry office for this dead horse that has been absolutely flogged to death?
I don't know. I think there's a spark or two in it yet.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh, Willie.
You have to edit that.
Nay. You're not getting hosed for all this.
Just literally, the episode will just be, oh.
In fact, I've thought about, because I've got an Android tablet, I can just like get a little soundboard, make it. Yeah, just with a massive button on it with Jim Duggan's face. Every time you push it, it smiles and makes the noise.
Yeah, sounds good.
I might do that, yeah.
Do that. Do that.
Save me 18 years of editing time.
Yeah, true enough.
Just like play a video on YouTube of Jim Duggan saying ho for 10 hours.
That doesn't surprise me that exists.
I'm not sure it does. Probably does, though. It's the internet, though.
We can make it. We have the technology.
Well, it's someone's kink, isn't it? It'll be already be on there.
What happens next?
If we build it, they will come. Next. Ugh. Right, so is this... Are we about up to the point where the male boring middle child finds the maid's body?
Yeah.
Yes.
And has some... And carries out yet more fucking dreadful acting.
Well, we've also got my cliche moment of the week where the mum confronts Jessica, like, where's the maid gone? Mm-hmm. Where is she? And Jessica produces some creepy stabby drawings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, like with blood everywhere. You know, that's quite a cliche in itself. Yeah, I'm sure we've already had that one about five times of this podcast.
Yeah.
And Jessica claims that the maid has gone home, but she also laughs creepily, so they figure out she's a bullshitter.
Yeah.
And Brian finds the maid choked out in the attic. Yeah. Although apparently it's not Jessica's fault that she thought the maid had gone home. Daddy had told her.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, she'll blame him on the dead guy. That's nice.
At which point someone in this house is getting a fucking slap. I've had enough at this point. Lamp's going down the stairs. Daughter's getting locked in her room. Not interested. If you keep withholding plot details from me to drag out the runtime of a film. It's like, Daddy did it. Right, okay. What do you mean, Daddy did it? Daddy did it. Be fucking specific or you are getting a slap.
Yeah.
Daddy's actually a haunted lamp that's upstairs and the lamp's been doing it. Right, there we go. That's all I wanted. Out the window, get fucked.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
To the mental asylum with you. Let's get on with it. Yeah, the cops show up as well. Try and use the drawings as hard evidence against Jessica, which I don't think would hold up in any court of law.
No.
And the family doctor, whether or not he's just trying to ask of an exercise, claims that the maid died of a heart attack, which surely there'd be like massive abrasions around the neck to claim otherwise.
Yeah, but it's a magic lamp death, isn't it? Magic lamp murder.
Yeah. Police threaten to come back in the morning to interview Jessica, but we never get to that point really, do we? So, as we'll see later on. Nancy then goes back to the note I mentioned about the priest wanting to meet.
Yes.
And bear in mind, this note was for Alice, the grandmother, but instead, you know, she's taken it upon herself to go meet him in a bar.
Yep.
And at the bar, Father Keebler goes through a convoluted history with the lamp.
Yes, which is my quote of the week. My favourite bit of dialogue in this entire film, which is, I've written it down word for word here. Where did I put it?
I wonder if I've got the same.
Here it is. There is 3 centuries of evil in the lamp.
No, that's not mine.
What's yours?
No, just mine's just, it seems so crazy.
Yes, it's a fucking haunted lamp.
And Father Keeble claims that the lamp has stolen Jessica's soul. It feeds on souls, you see. And
oh, does it?
Yeah, apparently so.
On the weakest soul in the house.
Yeah. Just, and it doesn't like move on to like the next soul or anything like that. Just a soul. Yeah. One soul per house. Is it like Netflix? You have to like pay a fiver more for a subscription for like extra souls or what?
Yeah. Quite possibly.
Yeah. And the dad has appeared, even though we've not really seen him apart from in the mirror once.
Yeah.
He appears just as a disguise to trick Jessica. Because she's a fucking idiot.
Trick lamp.
Yeah. And just around this point, another candidate of cliche moment of the week. Well, it's not even cliche, it's just terrible, to be fair.
Cliche, terrible of the week.
I laughed my ass off. Basically, the older daughter, Jessica, is it?
Yeah, Amanda.
Amanda, the older daughter, hears a noise outside. She's in the house, so she sticks her head out the window to look, and then the window just comes down and knocks her straight the fuck out.
Oh, yeah, donk.
Yeah, brilliant.
Pretty fucking funny.
Absolutely fantastic.
I love a nice bit of window violence.
Yeah.
Again, Conjuring 2 had that as well.
Yeah.
When he throws the set, he just like, bonk, straight back at him. And the next bit I really love as well, because you've got Nancy and Keebler rushing back to the house in the car, and Nancy asks him, so what's the plan then? And he's like,
Shit.
Yeah, oh, for fuck's sake, I came all the way across the country and left my planet home.
Because Nancy points out, you barely survived a lamp last time.
Fair point.
Yeah, how the fuck are you going to do, you know, what are you going to do this time?
You pathetic piece of shit.
Yeah.
You got your ass whooped by a lamp last time. Yeah, yeah. What are you going to do different this time?
And then at this point, there's just a lot of what I can only describe as running around and shouting going on.
Basically, yeah. All centralised around that attic again.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, which is brilliant. Just fucking brilliant.
Which, no matter how many times you try and lock it, it's a self-opening door.
Yep.
Yeah.
No key's going to keep Jessica out from going up there. Yeah.
No.
And so they all tip up there, and then they have a big fight with a lamp, all of them. The Grand fucking gets an axe out and starts really fucking, like, giving it big chains.
Yeah. I can't believe we're talking about a lamp as the main antagonist.
Yeah,
it's no, I know. It's brilliant. Fucking funny, isn't it?
Whoever thought of this idea deserves a good lamp in.
I know. Oh, we're like, oh, fuck off, Willie.
Well, what can you say at this point? I mean, they axe down the door, and in the skirmish, you have haunted, possessed, creepy Jessica. She stabs Father Keebler because he thinks he's going to hurt her daddy.
Yeah.
Yep. That being the lamp, of course.
Yep.
And, the grandma tries to deliver an axe to the lamp. Fails at first.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of people falling over whilst they're trying to get close to the lamp, and one of its amazing self-defense mechanisms is just to go really bright and blind people.
Excellent.
It's like a Pokemon that's got limited abilities. It's like, what can you do? Sleep powder. It didn't work. Ooh, blind. Fucking hell.
Oh, lamp used blindness. It was super effective.
Yeah. Chainsaw possession. All right, yeah.
Fucking hell.
And we've got the cord. Tries to strangle Father Keebler, but in the end, Alice, the grandmother, decides that yes, she can pick up a lamp by herself. As it turns
super
out,
super grand.
She doesn't need a varsity jock to help her.
Yeah,
she just picks it up and chucks it out the window.
Just so now, fucking funny.
No.
I love this bit, because when was it established that the house was positioned near the cliff?
Yeah, I've brought that up many times watching it.
You look at like the exterior shots, like in the middle of the day, it's quite clear, like...
I can accept it's on the west coast.
Yeah.
It's coastal, that's fine.
But... Yeah, but if you look at the surroundings, it's quite clear that the house is a vast field behind it, probably. We don't see it, but just that sort of layout, it is not on an edge of a cliff.
No.
And yet we see this lamp, he goes,
just fucking wails it down, doesn't it?
Yeah. Smashed down a bed of rocks.
And like, it's some fucking throw, because she legs it out of the window from about 3 metres back, and it clears the back garden that they have been in before, and goes straight over into the cliff. I just wish they had that, like, you know, like the Hans Gruber shot in Die Hard in slow mo, of the lamp just going down really
bits
top.
Bits of glass
off.
Twinkling down.
Yeah.
And the lamp just fucking stacks it all the way to the bottom.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It's beautiful. It's fucking funny.
Yeah, it's fucking brilliant. And it's sort of nearly finished. Everyone thinks, oh, everything's okay, everything's happy.
Yeah, everyone has a little bit of a wrap-up chat, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, wrap-up chat.
You know, the lamp smashes, and then Jessica's like, shit onto me.
Oh, Mummy, I had a bad dream.
Sure you did.
Sure you did. You are getting a fucking backhand on a trip to the hospital, though. Got these weird ass drawings you've been doing.
Yeah, and then everyone's like, where the fuck's the cat gone?
Well, really good.
Where's the cat gone? And we head back down to the cliffs, don't know how the cat got down there.
Yep.
And it's like sniffing around the lamp, and suddenly his eyes glow red.
Freeze frame, eyes glow red, credits roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, boom.
Beautiful ending.
Finn.
Fucking hell. And they clearly could not be asked to animate the eyes on it. That's why it's a freeze frame. Freeze frame, glow eyes.
Yeah. Like, they took, like, they got a freeze frame stuck in MS Paint.
Yeah.
Red dot, using the spray paint.
Yeah. Just film the screen while I do it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Fucking
end credits.
Hell.
End of film.
Done.
Well,
The lamp.
It's over to you, really, isn't it, Dave, here? Wrap us up, put a bow on it.
I'm all right, mate.
you did this to us. You can fucking do it.
You two have enjoyed yourself. I'm really happy that I brought it around and Ellen has saved the day.
Yeah.
So, closing thoughts, how do we feel about it?
Honestly, it's so bad that it may redefine bad. Cinematically.
It transcends, doesn't it?
Yeah.
People talk about Troll 2 as one of the so bad it's good films ever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think Troll 2 is just a waste of time.
Yeah.
It's just not funny or enjoyable.
No.
This, however,
yeah, I mean, I've laughed
so
my
firmly
ass off
believes
this
in itself,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah. I've laughed my ass off.
Yeah.
Just the fact that somebody somewhere took seriously the concept of a possessed lamp.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are my thoughts. What do you reckon, Wilson?
It is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be up there in now with my quasi-ironic films I enjoy. But I actually really enjoy it. It's up there with Sharknado and bloody Batman and Robin and all that lot. It's just, it's a fucking lamp.
Yeah.
And I just cannot believe this film got made to begin with. It's just, what I find hilarious is when you first mentioned about the film, it reminded me there was a sketch on Family Guy, like really older Family Guy, when I enjoyed it when I was 16. I don't know, because you know what? I'm a fully grown, mature adult.
Yes.
But, is it Stephen King in like an office, like pitches next to how it is? And this one's
lamp.
About a spooky
ooh
lamp.
Ooh, ooh,
ooh.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, you know, is it a reference to this?
That might be a reference to this, yeah.
Or is this a film that's just so gone so under the radar in all of these? I'm a YouTube channel, I'm going to rate bad films, get really angry about it. It's just gone so under the radar that nobody knows about it.
Nobody talks about this. All these amateur films are on YouTube because not even the fucking distributors give a shit enough to chase it up and take it down.
Yeah.
It is available on DVD. It costs £20.
Yeah, fuck that. It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube, yeah.
I don't understand. It's not even on Vimeo where they've even vaguely tried to keep it off the radar. It's like, nah, there it is. It's out in the world now.
It feels like it's amazing, like 2018, we've actually undiscovered a hidden gem.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, gem's pushing it, but.
Yeah. It's like when a cat's shat under the sofa and you're finally with Ash, you're like, oh, you fucking wanker.
Oh, that's why we've spelt so bad for the last 6 months. Fuck's sake.
True.
I had a fairly good time. Eleanor was beside herself.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I was.
I had quite a lot of fun with it. We immediately went on to watch Amityville 5 afterwards, which don't go any further because they try and get even more serious at that point.
Oh dear.
What happens in 5?
A bunch of yuppies, which I had to read up on what a yuppie actually was, but they're like 20-something Trumpites.
Yeah.
They're basically hipsters of the early 90s, clean-shaven, and they're all about negotiating and brokering deals but actually getting fucking ripped off. Five of them buy a knackered old house in Amityville, not the Amityville house. Shit starts going all freaky and weird, and it turns out there's an old church in the basement where a priest was shot.
Sounds fucking tedious.
How did they fit a church in a basement?
Yeah, I thought about that, but it's
not worth it. It's
been
a
big basement.
Yeah.
Big basement, yeah. Oh. It's stick with this one. This one's fun.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Willie, get your shovel out.
Well, this is going to be a good one.
Yeah. We're so, going for a clean 10-10 here. Ben 10 over there.
Pushing it.
Yeah. Okay, turds.
Well, it's the height of shiteness, so...
The height of shite.
Yeah. I've got to go for a 9 here, because...
Yeah, yeah.
It is just terrible in every sense of a word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's no denying it.
Yeah. It's a mixed bag. It's a mixed trash bag.
It is.
It's been shat in, someone's thrown up in it.
It's a mixed bag, and that bag contains donkey shit, dog shit, cat shit, goat shit. Every type of shit going, but it's technically mixed because it's all from different animals. That's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of popcorn, I've got to go a 9 as well. Because, like, I've got a question, mate. Why? Because it's Jason X was like 10-10.
True, but
it's the same principle. I had a bloody wonderful time with this, and I will watch this again and again and again. I reckon
I'll definitely watch it again.
This is going to be one of those that you know,
it's one of those records that just keeps getting flipped all day long.
Yeah,
just going for it.
You know, my sarcastic but not really recommendations. I'm going to give, like I said, alongside Batman and Robin. You know, it's
yep.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
Fun times all around.
Yeah.
Rob?
Turds?
How's the litter tray looking?
10.
10 turds, all right.
10, and I mean that with love.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. 10 turds, yeah. It has it all.
It does, it has it all.
It has it. Everything that is shit about some sequels.
Everything that you wanted to talk about in this podcast has come around.
So, yeah, I do not feel I need to further explain that.
Right, up to your neck in turds.
Yeah.
Popcorn-wise?
8. Because I had a rollicking good time.
Yeah.
Not quite as rollicking as Wilson, but pretty rollicking.
Pretty fucking high scores, this.
Yeah, and it was fucking... I would watch it again.
Yeah.
And it breezed along, and it kept me entertained, and it's a fucking possessed lamp.
The lamp!
You know, we could say that all three of us have seen the light on this one.
No, I've only made that joke. Yeah. Fuck off.
Yeah. Dave.
40 what?
What? How many turds?
It's a solid bona fide 9 turds, mate.
Yeah, all day.
It's shit and it doesn't know it.
Yeah.
It's shit and it doesn't know it, mate.
Yeah.
It has no idea how crap this is. Just everything about it.
Yeah.
There's no redemption in its shit factor, I'm afraid.
No, there isn't.
No. It's just all kinds of...
It's irredeemable.
It's garbage. Yeah. Popcorn-wise, going to go for an 8.
Yeah, fair.
So a 9 and an 8. That's pretty good.
That's pretty high scoring. Might be the highest score so far, aggregately.
What's Jason X?
I reckon Jason X has slightly got it beat, but that's almost an impossible score.
Yeah, I think it's right up there.
It's the best of the rest, shall we say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure. Well done, Dave. Proud of you.
Yeah. Thank Eleanor.
Thanks, Eleanor. Well done, Eleanor.
Proud of you.
She's not over there.
I know. I checked.
Just making sure.
Yeah. I know she can be quite quiet in the corner sometimes.
Yeah. You just do forget sometimes. You're behind the curtain. Okay. Cool. So what is coming up next?
Well, it's Mr. Wilson.
It's my go. And I'd thought we'd go for something a bit more classique.
Yeah, we're taking a trip down mediocrity lane with you, aren't we?
Oh, spoilers!
Oh, here we go. Laying down the diss track now, are you?
Oh!
Okay, then. Our next film is going to be the Hammer Horror Dracula from 1958, which is also known as Horror of Dracula, I believe, in America.
I had to search for that online to find it, and I felt filthy.
Yeah. It's on Vimeo. That's the one I saw.
Yeah.
So it might not be the very first Hammer Horror film, but...
No, Frankenstein was first.
Frankenstein was first.
Quatermass, but the Hammer Horror stuff, it's Frankenstein.
But this is where it all takes off, really, for the next, like, 10, 15 years for Hammer, so...
Oh, yeah.
We'll take a look at why that happened. I mean, we probably don't have the answer for why it happened, but we'll...
We did study British cinema, and I think we both wrote our essays on Hammer.
We did, yeah.
I think we did. So we do have the answer somewhere.
Get them essays out, lads.
Yeah, I'll probably throw it away at some point.
Yeah.
While thinking, All this money for this course, when it was put away. Yeah. Regretting my life choices again.
Yeah, you'd be paying $9,500 now, though.
Just a bit.
So, until next time, it is goodbye from me. It's goodbye from Wilson.
You're doing it all the way around.
Yeah, you fucking arsehole. Yeah.
Fine. Bye.
Got him. And it's goodbye from Rob. It's your turn now.
Nah, fuck it. Bye, Dave.
Bye.
I'm not stealing his gimmick. Bye.
Don't forget, you can follow us and keep up with all our updates, regular updates, possibly, maybe, hopefully, if Wilson gets his arse in gear, at Cinemortuary on Twitter, / Cinemortuary on Facebook, and, of course, at Cinemortuary on Instagram. I don't know how you do pictures of podcasts, but we're going to do that anyway.